The Nonprofit Happy Hour is a weekly look at Portland's nonprofits and do-gooders with interviews, music, and documentaries. You're listening to the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM, brought to you by the Media Institute for Social Change, a public interest media lab that works to inspire, empower, and engage emerging media producers. Learn more online at mediamakingchange.org. Today on our show, we're spotlighting nonprofit publisher and recent recipient of an Oregon Arts Commission grant, Airlie Press.
This is Phil Bussey. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM. I'm excited to be talking to Airlie Press Poetry and co-editors Amelia Diaz-Ettinger and Brittany Corrigan. How are you both?
Excellent.
Good, thank you.
So, because we are talking about a poetry press and words matter, Airlie Press, what is that referring to?
Actually, Airlie Press, the name comes from Airlie, Oregon, which is a town past Corvallis, but not quite to the coast. The small town where some of the original founders, one of them live, and it's kind of a lovely name. And I think that stuck because it conveys air and space.
And the region.
Lovely.
and does it convey also a part of the mission? I will talk about what the mission is, but do you concentrate on Oregon poets or Pacific Northwest or poets, rural poets even?
So we sort of have a dual purpose in that one of the main parts of our mission is to uplift the voices of Pacific Northwest poets. And so we publish two books a year by Pacific Northwest poets, but we also have a national/international prize that we publish one book a year by someone who can be from anywhere in the world in writing in English.
And do you find that Oregon poets have certain motifs or issues that they tend to center around, or is it completely a grab bag?
It's interesting. I think that there is more eclectic profusion of writers in this area. Yes, there are some themes that seem to be part of our consciousness as a state and Pacific Northwest people. There is a lot of nature that informs the poetry. There is a lot of the environment and ecology that also surfaced through a lot of the writings and a lot of the manuscripts that we get. But it's not only limited to that. We have found, particularly, I think, in the last couple of years, that there has been a profusion of different themes and approaches to poetry. And some of it has been exciting and new and experimental.
And we definitely try to, you know, are trying to publish things we haven't seen before is, you know, part of what a lot of our editors look for. And we have a model where we bring two editors rotate off every year and two new editors come on. So our editorial board is constantly changing, which I think helps us to our tastes change versus, you know, depending who's on the board. And so hopefully that brings more diversity to the type of books that we're publishing as well. Yeah.
No, that sounds nice. You need to turn the compost over every once in a while. I don't, not to refer to your editors as compost. I want to back up just a little bit. So the mission statement. So this is a nonprofit, and the mission statement is publishing books of poetry that are compelling, innovative, and representative of diverse voices. So can we spotlight each of those words one at a time? So how is poetry compelling, or how do you measure compellingness?
For me, when I'm reading, I'm looking for something that that I have not seen before and that grabs me emotionally, as well as maybe an appreciation of the craft, but something that really might make me go, oh, right, you know, that I haven't seen that before. And so that to me is compelling, Amelia.
I think for me, that comes into play a great deal, but also I think poetry is a vitamin that feeds in into the words that are needed to be heard. And I think that's what compels me as a reader of poetry, as an editor, is seeing works that talk to the larger conscience of us as humans, that need to make voices be heard that not necessarily are in the right or are often heard. And so I looked at in poetry something that will awaken my consciousness and show me the world intimately from a different point of view or perspective that I need to learn.
And so the second word then, Amelia, not surprisingly, that was a very poetic answer. The second word is innovative, and I'm really curious about that. Do you mean innovative in terms of format, or Brittany, you talked about the craft. You mentioned mm-hmm. that in your answer, or do you mean innovative in terms of themes and subject matter?
I think both. I mean, we keep our catalog fresh by being open to all different types of poetry craft-wise. Like for instance, one of our 2022 titles, Jennifer Reimer's Keshke, is very different from anything we've ever published before formally. And so that to me is really exciting, but also subject matter, of course, too. As Amelia said, you know, maybe we get a lot of, you know, nature or sort of ecology work because of the region. And we published that too. Connie Soper's book this year is very rooted in that. But we like to have some variety too. And so we're looking for, especially if it's maybe it's those nature themes, but we're looking for a poet who is treating them in a different way or in a way we haven't seen before or has something new to say about that subject matter, I think is something I read for as well.
Great. And then finally, it's representative of diverse voices. And I'm wondering if this question will make sense, but so representative diverse voices, is that different than diversity?
Well, as we spoke before, the diversity of poetry forms that we like to see, just experimental forms, hermit crab, prose poems. I mean, there is so much out there, which is opening the doors into poetry to places that we didn't expect, but also diversity of not often heard people representing our society. We have had Jose Aragüez, Angel Aragüez, which is a Mexican-American poet. We have had myself, a Puerto Rican poet. And those diverse voices, we want to see them and we want to have their manuscript come our way because I think it's really important to hear voices of marginalized peoples mm-hmm. that needs to have an open forum because they're part of the fabric of our Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm.
And how do the poets find you or do you find them sometimes?
I'd say we don't find them. We have open calls for submissions. Well, I guess if somebody knows somebody, we might invite folks to submit. But I think primarily we are working just to get our name and our calls for submissions out there as broadly as we can for our open call to the Pacific Northwest region. But that is something we've looked at in the past few years as an editorial board is how can we broaden that reach and how can we make our press more visible and more accessible to marginalized poets. So we're a collective press, which is sort of unusual in the publishing industry, and that our poets, not our prize winner, but our other editors join the press for a three-year volunteer commitment as editors. And in the first year, we're sort of learning the ropes. And the second year, our book is coming out. And the third year, we're mentoring the new editors coming in. And so something we've done, because that's a big commitment, it's a lot of work as a volunteer to be running a press in that way. And so something we've done in recent years is that just a couple years ago, we decided to create a stipend that we could offer to folks coming onto the press for whom it would be a financial burden to be giving their time in that way. So we opened that up to poets from marginalized communities, as well as poets, low SES poets. And so with the goal being that eventually, hopefully we can get more of those diverse voices to be submitting to our press and being able to make that 3-year commitment, which can be hard for folks.
And then where do people find you? Not the poets, but the readers. If somebody wants to check out the latest Arlie collection or one of the books, where do I go?
We have Arlie Press website at arliepress.org, and that is one place to find all our titles.
And they're also anywhere books are sold. So we work with small press distribution. So, our stuff is out there on, Amazon, but also in ideally in the independent bookstores. It's on, bookshop.org, all of those places that you might normally buy books. And then we work to get them out within our communities too, where our editors live and work in our independent bookstores and that sort of thing. But hopefully we're not too hard to find. Our books should be out there in the world.
Yeah, but is that tricky? I would imagine there's a certain amount of relationship building that you have to do with the readers, right? Mm-hmm. So it's different writers each time, or often different writers. A reader is buying your book of poetry because they trust you and they have a connection to you as curators, I would assume so. Do you find, or do you know if you have a lot repeat buyers? Do you work on building those relationships with the readers, or is it hoping just to put it out in the universe and that the book finds the right person?
Some of all of that, I think. So for sure, there's regulars. I mean, I think the primary audience for poetry is other poets, although I'd like to see that expanded, more and more as the years goes on. But each author brings sort of their own community to their book, as you were sort of alluding to. And so I think, each time we have a book come out, there is sort of a different community of readers that are coming to it. We have been sort of putting our focus in recent years on trying to focus on our marketing more and how we can reach a more diverse readership as well.
Great.
Add to that, Amelia?
I think you cover it.
We're going to take a quick music break in a second here. This is Phil Bussey. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour on X-Ray FM. Arlie Press Poetry co-editors Amelia Diaz Ettinger and Brittany Corrigan are our guests today. And Brittany, you're going to set us up with a song to listen to, or a musician to listen to.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be nice for us to listen to Laura Beers, who's an Oregon artist, folk singer, songwriter. And so I appreciate her work, not only for her lyrics, but for just the folksy vibe, which I'm really into. So enjoy.
Let's take a listen.
When you say,
we'll be right back. Seagulls and seagrass float on by. I'm 10,000 leagues beneath the sea. 10,000 leagues. 10,000 leagues beneath the green. 10,000
This is Phil Bussey. It's the Nonprofit Happy Hour. Co-editors Amelia Diaz-Ettinger and Brittany Corrigan run the Airly Press Poetry. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the business end of poets. That sounds wrong, but poetry is not known for being a lucrative profession. You mentioned this a little bit, Brittany, about you volunteer, the editors are volunteers, and you're working on stipends. But what does that mean for a press like yours? How do you sustain a press like this?
So most of our income comes from book sales or the entry fees for our national prize. So we don't charge entry fees for our open reading period when we're bringing in new local editors, but we do for our national prize. So those are two of the main ways we support ourselves, donations and fundraising, and then grants. And in recent years, some of our editors have been focusing more on the grant writing. I think we started finding out about more of those opportunities, particularly during the pandemic as well, when there was more money being made available to small presses like ours. So we've tried to focus more on looking for and getting some of these smaller grants. We're a little press. We don't need a lot of money, but we do, need enough to sustain us. So these smaller grant opportunities are actually extremely beneficial for us.
And I would think that maybe it isn't a challenge, but that balance of right brain, left brain, sort of the balance of business and beauty, is that a challenge for an organization?
I think because we are run by a diverse group of people, we have had people with a lot of talent in different areas. So that has really helped move the press along difficult times during the pandemic, et cetera. People who know how to write grants very well and are great administrators have been available in the editors. And then we have organizational skills, masters like Brittany that can seem to see the whole calendar and project and be able to keep things on task. Because having six editors at a time, it brings enough diversity within the group that those talents are found and they help run a very a really smooth machine, yeah. If I should call it a machine.
A little machine. But yeah, we, as you know, as the six editors, we distribute the tasks among all of us, hopefully, you know, as equitably as we can in terms of time, and matching up with both not only our skills that we may already bring when we join the collective, but our interest in what we want to learn from the publishing industry, because we also see part of our mission as this mentorship model and bringing in these folks who are getting to learn the publishing industry and hopefully also come away with some skills in nonprofit administration and, you know, running a small press and being an editor that they can take with them after their time with the press as well.
Yeah, because right, to be a successful writer, poet, artist, I mean, there is that necessity of some business skills. And I think, you know, it's interesting. So Brittany, you're an event manager, facility academics, special events at Reed College. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I work in the events office at Reed.
And which sounds very much like a lot of details, some bureaucracy. but you are a poet yourself as well.
Right. That's right. Yeah. It's definitely two different, worlds, but yes, the twain shall meet. So I think that's how it works. So.
And Amelia, your biography, you referred as Mexi Rican, right?
Yes.
So Mexican and Puerto Rican, in your makeup.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I was born in Mexico. But grew up in the island. I grew up in Puerto Rico.
And then get an MFA from Eastern Oregon University, which is its own culture as well.
Oh, absolutely. I have lived in Eastern Oregon for all my adult life.
And your poetry has described reflection of the assimilation of the immigrant into the host landscape. And I didn't prepare you for this, but would you happen to have a short passage of your poetry that you could read?
Yes, I could, if you give me a second here. In learning, I started the book with an epistolary poem as a letter to Puerto Rico, which I identify so closely because I never really lived in Mexico. Yeah. Patria. My beloved, describe patria, homeland, too formal, country, no warmth. But patria is family, food, colorful hands. I shudder naming your towns, Lares, Ay bonito, Boquerón y Caguas. Sí, it is always Caguas. I long to see your beaches and your red soil. Feel your hot breath against my shoulder. To smell pasteles wrapped in green hope and plantain leaves. To kiss my wise old man and pet your bony dogs. I long to feel the mildew of the Caribbean. Filter the marrow of cells, cement, and memory. To recall your loudspeakers shouting promise and despair. I long to feel that languid sun, extreme, suffocating, rapturous, transforming our men, arrogant and loud, with desires beyond your narrow width, who dance and drink, love and think, with the intensity of your sky, that limits nothing, who wear guayaberas and play dominoes and make love with just a look. Your mothers and girls, humble and strong, who run time in heels and steel and marking and making, keeping you afloat in the perfumes of righteous rightfulness, in full lips that whisper a future as uncertain as an eyelash. but make you believe in God and children, and that there is no other earth. Beloved Patria, how is it to be you, especially now, when your children flee, when your soil is left behind in empty lots that hum lost verses of a mute song in a Caribbean breeze, this song of farewell.
Amelia Diaz-Ettinger is co-editor of Airlie Press Poetry with Brittany Corrigan. They've been my guests today on the Nonprofit Happy Hour. Thank you both for talking with me. And because I was stumbling over the word a little bit, I will spell it out. A-I-R-L-I-E, Airlie Press Poetry. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
On Thursday, November 3rd, Airlie Press will host a speed poetry dating event as part of the Portland Book Festival at Blackbird Wine Shop on Northeast Fremont at 7 p.m. See you there. The Nonprofit Happy Hour is made possible by Beneficial State Bank, a certified B Corp that holds to what it calls a triple bottom line of social justice, environmental well-being, and economic sustainability. If your organization or business is interested in underwriting our show, please email phil@mediamakingchange.org. The Nonprofit Happy Hour is a production of the Media Institute for Social Change and KXRY Radio, X-Ray FM. Our host is Phil Bussey. Our executive producer and editor is me, Carly Meisberger. Archives of past shows can be found on our SoundCloud page. Questions, comments, or ideas about the show can be sent to info@mediamakingchange.org. Thanks for tuning in.